Chase, Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. That's right, it is. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason at Bridgestone Arena today, the Jack Daniels Barrel House. It is open. The Predators will play tonight in Bridgestone Arena against the Anaheim Ducks. And the World Cup is underway, USA taking on Iran. We'll keep you updated on that if you're DVRing. Sorry.
We're going to keep you updated. Not scoring anything. It's 0-0 right at the beginning.
Nil-nil.
Nil-nil.
It is nil-nil. Let's talk some college football with Mitch Light as we do every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Mitch from The Athletic joins us now. Hello, Mitch. How you doing?
I'm good, Chase. How are you today, bud?
I'm doing fantastic. Wild weekend of college football. Can we just go ahead and scrap the rankings and put South Carolina in the national championship game? I mean, they've earned it the last 2 weeks, beating Tennessee, beating Clemson. Let's go Gamecocks. Put them in there.
Well, if you ask Shane Beamer, they should. You know, his quote is that we had our own little playoff the last 2 weeks, and we came out quite well. Well, I'm sorry, Shane, it doesn't work that way. You know, that's why you play the entire season. But no, kudos to them. I mean, they were no team clearly had two better wins in the last 2 weeks than they did. No one else I think probably played two top 10 teams, and one at home, one on the road. I watched pretty much every play of both games, and you know, they dug themselves a hole in the Clemson game too. They pick six early. They got down 14-0. They fumbled going into the one in the red zone or inside the five, if I recall correctly. So they had to overcome some adversity there, and they just played really, really well offensively. The funny thing is, like, there were serious questions about Marcus Satterfield's job, the offensive coordinator there. And my guess is that he would have been fired at the end of this year if they did not close their season out strongly. And then, boom, Matt Rhule gets hired at Nebraska, and he hires his old buddy Marcus Satterfield away. So, I mean, I honestly think this was – the last 2 weeks could not have gone any better for South Carolina fans who wanted their teams to beat Tennessee and Clemson and who wanted a new offensive coordinator. The only problem is Spencer Rattler might have played so well that he might not be back, but we'll have to find out about that.
So it's time for the old two-part question, but I feel it's the best way to do this. Why do you think ultimately Lane Kiffin decided – to stay put in Oxford at Ole Miss, and why do you think Hugh Freeze can be successful at Auburn?
I don't really know the answer to the first one. I mean, because I don't know how many people really know the answer to that one. There were reports, and, you know, I'm not doing the reporting. We have a lot of really good reporters at The Athletic, and I'm privy to some of their information. A lot of this was out there, too. Some of it, the reporting was that Lane Kiffin decided he didn't want to uproot his family. Some of it might have been that Auburn got a little cold feet because of Ole Miss's struggles. Maybe it was they were just wanted to freeze all along, and they were kind of vetting him and trying to, you know, do the PR thing and how that would play out. So, you know, I don't really know ultimately why he wasn't the choice. Why will Hugh Freeze do well there is because he's a really good football coach who had success at Ole Miss and did a great job at Liberty. And he runs good offenses. He's had good quarterbacks. He's innovative, all that. So for all the negative, you know, the no doubt about it, he's a good coach. But, you know, that doesn't guarantee success. Life can be very, very difficult in the SEC, especially in the SEC West. But with the, as we know nowadays, with the transfer portal and all that stuff, it's easy. You know, that will be an attractive destination for a transfer quarterback. So I would be surprised if they do not have a good offense next year, at the least.
We're talking with Mitch Light at The Athletic. Now, Mitch, we're entering championship weekend, and obviously, you know, TC is big for TCU, it's big for USC as well as Michigan, but. Do you think if one of those teams do lose, do you think there would be much, much shakeup in the top four? Because right now as it sit, it should be Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC. But if TCU loses or Michigan loses, let's say that, do you think there'd be much shakeup the next following week as far as the playoff goes?
Yeah, I mean, Derek, that is what we're going to be watching this week. And mm-hmm. I always say, you know, people talk about the committee, like the committee is going to do this. And ultimately, it is a committee decision, but there are 13 people in there, and 13 people, everyone values things differently. Like, if you were on that committee and TCU loses and you say, you know what, I wasn't overly impressed with them all year. They had a lot of close wins against good but not great teams, and they didn't even win a conference championship. That doesn't, you know, I've got to bump them down. The guy next to you might be saying, you know what, they managed to win games. They came from behind. They got a great offense. They went 12-0 and 10-0 in a difficult league. Sure, they lost their championship game on a neutral field, but they've only got one loss, so I've got them in there. So it's just going to be – there's going to be a lot of debate. And then, you know, where is Ohio State tonight? You know, we think they're going to be fifth. Where is Alabama going to be? How the Alabama-Tennessee thing? You know, so there's so much at stake here. I mean, we think – we have a lot more confidence in TCU this week. I'm saying we because I think most people do after their performance last week because they finally won a game comfortably. Even though Iowa State was 1-7 in the league, or 1-8, they're still a decent team. And we have more confidence in USC because they were really good against Notre Dame. Some of the things we say about USC, they're not physical enough. They can't stop the run. They played really well against the physical Notre Dame team that wants to run the ball. So I feel really good about both those teams winning. But Derek, like you said, if they don't, yeah, there's going to be some movement. I couldn't, you know, I could tell you what I think, but we have no idea what the committee's going to do. And like they said, they say they scrap it every week. That's hard to do intuitively, but like they say, they throw away what the previous rankings were the previous week, and they start from scratch. So that's why they kind of allow themselves to make these radical changes because they say they do it differently every week.
Look, I just want LSU, Purdue, Kansas State, and Utah all to win and just make this completely crazy.
Scrap everything.
Let's just do that.
Absolutely.
Is that your money line parlay for the week?
No, I'm not that brave.
Now, quickly before I pass it over to Willie, is there a lane for Alabama and Tennessee to get back in this, or do you believe, hey, listen, it's their losses were too bad, and it's no matter what happens, those two teams may not get into the playoffs?
I would say yes, but very kind of reluctantly. The thing that would give me hope, especially for Tennessee, is what I just said before, is they wrap it up, they rip it up every week, supposedly, and they start from scratch. So you could say, okay, well, they were 10 last week, they beat Vanderbilt, how could they go up that much? Well, maybe the doubts in that room were, Hendon Hooker's hurt. The offense is not going to be good. Well, they proved, you know, Vanderbilt is what it is, but they won two straight games against quality SEC teams and were 5-6. It wasn't like it was a 2-9 Vanderbilt team, and they played one of their most impressive games of the season. But then someone might be saying, well, they looked awful against South Carolina. Oh, wait, that South Carolina team's actually pretty good. So, you know, Alabama, the same thing. Alabama, they lost two close games basically at the buzzer. One, at Tennessee, and then an overtime against LSU, but then you counter back, they don't have any good wins. So there's just so much, you can talk yourself into circles there. But I would say, yes, there is an outside path. I don't see the committee having Tennessee over Alabama, though. You can argue that, I understand that, but the fact that they were, three spots difference, I don't see that changing.
Mitch Light is with us. So Mitch, I know in the NCAA basketball tournament, they come out and say, if a player is hurt, that does affect our decision as a committee of where to seed a team, whether to put a team in. So with Hendon Hooker's injury, if the chaos did happen and all of a sudden you're looking at Tennessee as one of a pool of teams, have they said as a committee what their criteria is on the Hendon Hooker injury? Does that factor in?
You know, that's a good question. I think we all assume it does factor, but I should know. Maybe they said it. I haven't heard, but I think we assume that it does factor. That's where the criteria are the best teams, the four best teams, not the four most deserving. And that's where that could bite a team like Tennessee in this case, because you could argue they are one of the four most deserving because of their resume, but then you could argue they're not one of the four best because their best the player, the quarterback, is out. You know, again, even though they played better, we all saw the game. Joe Milton is not Hendon Hooker. So that is the scenario where the committee could really lean on the four best as an excuse not to include Tennessee if chaos did ensue and they kind of elbowed their way back into the picture.
So, Mitch, you've assessed many a Vanderbilt team over the years. You also do a lot of work with The Athletic on the recruiting front. I'm curious what you think of Clark Lee, how he moves forward here with the two great wins to make the season a success. I mean, we talked about in Vegas, their over-under before the year was 2.5 wins, and they win 5. Two huge conference wins, but of course, bad taste in your mouth after a very disappointing performance, to say the least, on Saturday. But in terms of keeping the guys you have and moving forward with another good recruiting class, what do you think? Because I was reading the comments of David Shaw from Stanford. He steps down, and you just got the sense from the comments that the overall challenge of recruiting at Stanford, a place like Stanford, and Vanderbilt would be in that, not only is it tough with the recruiting in general, only private school in the league kind of thing, but also the way teams, he was very frank. He said teams are backdoor recruiting illegally our players right now. He said it, and it wasn't like read between the lines. He absolutely said it. And you can sort of legally do it in some way. He said illegal, but all that being said, how do you think Clark Lea can take it to another level from this year to next year?
Yeah, I mean, the challenges are great, and you know that's not just happening to Stanford; it's happening everywhere. You know, the people are being recruited off of current rosters. Specifically, you know, there's no doubt that winning those two SEC games has done a ton for the program. You know, you got to hear Clark Lea talk, you hear Barton Simmons talk. They all say the belief in the building. You know, we knew we were on the right track. We knew this. We knew this. That's great. That's a great attitude to have. But they'll admit, you know, outside, we also know what people saw the results. They needed to show the results to their fans, to recruits, to their current players. I mean, if you're a current player and you're thinking about transferring, you're far more apt to say, you know what, I really do think we're on the right path here after you win two conference games than if you would have gone 0-8 and gone 3-9 overall. So I think that those two wins, sure, the season ended on a really sour note, but those two wins were huge for the program. And, you know, they've got it. The class, I think, on paper is very similar to last year, which was good for Vanderbilt. I mean, it's not ranked as high as last year, but there's still a couple weeks to go. So, you know, obviously the task there is holding on to those guys. And in holding on to the guys, you know, a guy like, they've got a lot of really good players, young players. They kind of diamonds in the rough they found. Their job now is to keep those guys and prevent them from recruiting, which was, sure, the guys would leave programs in the past 5-10 years, but that was not, you didn't think, okay, season's over now, we've got to recruit our current guys just as hard as we're recruiting our recruits. So yeah, I mean, I do think that life is more difficult than ever for the quote-unquote academic schools for a lot of the reasons that David Shaw outlined.
He is Mitch Light of The Athletic. Mitch, appreciate it. We'll see what happens with championship weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys, take care.
Yep.
That is Mitch Light joining us. Coming up next, we'll continue this discussion because I've pulled up the old bowl predictor. And there's some interesting matchups that could happen.
And I'd love to discuss the point a little further. We can read David Shaw's comments, and it's not just the academic schools, but it's really every school. The burden on a college coach right now of not only where my next player is coming from, but also the recruiting it's clear that what's happening right now, people are recruiting people off of current rosters,
yep,
not just people in the transfer portal. And David Shaw, who's a great college football ambassador, a great guy you want running college football. I look at Jay Wright at Villanova in basketball. I think some college coaches are saying, this is not what I signed up for. This is too much. I can't do it all. And some good coaches are walking away.
Yeah, and he was one of them. Resigned this weekend. We'll do that coming up next. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.